This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
In churches that sing Afrikaans music, so they're making that song available. And I can just imagine your church going for it on a Sunday morning, singing out loud. I don't know if they sing much English music at Prof. Dion Foster's church there near Amsterdam, where the sun is starting to peek out a little bit. We are no longer having a conversation where he is sitting in pitch darkness. Morning, Dion.
Morning, Brad. Yeah. Just to say, you mentioned earlier, the only way I listen to Cape Pulpit is via streaming, via the app. So please, listeners, get the app. It works so wonderfully. All of us have our phones with us all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, it works fantastically. I feel like I'm home.
And you know what's really awesome is that we've got Prof. Dion Foster listening all the way from Amsterdam in the Netherlands. And I can see on, I have a screen that tells me who's listening on the app and streaming. I can see somebody from Zwaneng in Botswana is tuned in. I can see someone from Lisbon in Portugal. I can see somebody from Denmark. So we've got some international listeners apart from all of the other faithfuls from here in South Africa, Dion. So yay for all of our international listeners.
Fantastic, Brad. Yeah, so just to say, we don't, a little church here in Baambrugge, this little village of Amsterdam where I live, we sing Dutch. But for the last 2 weeks, I've been preaching at the International Church in Amsterdam Crossroads, and everything there is in English. It feels a little bit strange, you know. I wonder if God understands.
I do love this. There's something I often think about that, you know, God, I sometimes pray in a way that I hope God understands, and then I forget, oh, hang on, it's God.
Yeah, God is the author of all the languages of the world.
Now, Dio, the story we're sharing about today is something I don't think I've ever thought of. We always think of, oh, poor Sarah, and then we think a little bit of Hagar, and we say, well, that story was kind of unusual. And then we look at it with our modern thinking and think, yuck, Abraham, what were you thinking doing that now, all to try and push God's agenda along quicker in your own sort of way? And then the Ishmael story, I can't always get my head around. And then I sort of move on a little bit from there because it seems like a little bit of a mess. It's a scandal, so I choose to just move on.
Yeah. So, Brad, just to say, this month is Women's Month, and it was International Women's Day last week. And for many of us as Christians around the world, we think quite a bit about women and girls and the ways in which, you know, very often the Bible can be used to you know, sort of prioritize men and to be prejudiced against the rights of women and girls. And part of the problem is, of course, that, you know, many of the texts that we read in Scripture were written during a time in history where patriarchy was unquestioned. So, you know, the man was the head of the house, the head of the community, and, you know, and women played a far lesser role. And we know, for example, you know, in the New Testament, we have passages like Galatians 3, there is no longer male nor female, you know, Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, that in the dispensation of Christ, these things even out, and we need to begin to think about that as Christians. And counter with my students is they say, well, what do we do with those difficult parts of the Bible? You know, and particularly in the Hebrew Scriptures, in the Old Testament, there are some very, very difficult bits in the New Testament, of course, as well, particularly when it comes to slavery. But you know, if we think about 2 Samuel 13, you know, the rape of Tamar. But the passage that I was reading this week, thinking a little bit what it means to be a Christian man, a father of a daughter, a husband to a wife, a brother to a sister, a son of a mother. What does it mean for me as a Christian man to take seriously what I think God wants from us as men in the world? And I read this passage in Genesis 16, and of course you mentioned it. This is a passage that tells the story of Sarah, who couldn't bear a child, and customary in that stage, if a woman couldn't bear a child, you know, then she could offer one of her servants to her husband so that she could get children. And this is a very, very complex story. You know, what struck me about it, of course, is the absolute heartbreak. You can just imagine Sarah in a world where for women at that stage, you know, there was no such thing as defining yourself as an individual. You were always defined in terms of your spousal and your maternal role. So you were the mother of someone and the wife of someone. And if that was not possible, oh my goodness, you know, the prejudice, the anxiety, the heartache she must have endured in that culture. And so she gives her servant Hagar, the Egyptian girl, to her husband Abraham. And you know, here we see something that's also quite painful. You can imagine for Hagar, you know, here is someone who is an indentured servant, so she doesn't have choice.
Yes.
It's not like she can choose to say yes or no. You know, she enters into this thing. It's perhaps not her culture, you know, and you know, she has to go with what is suggested. And then, of course, what we see also is Abram. You know, Abram is almost what we would say the sort of bystander in this story, who in a sense goes along with what is being offered for all of the reasons that that we mentioned. You know, he believes it's morally and legally permissible. He wants to honor God, and so he does this. Now, the question for me is always, Brad, what do we do with these kinds of passages?
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that I want to say is we cannot cut them out of the Bible. You might have heard of what is called the Jefferson Bible. Thomas Jefferson did that. He went through the Bible and every passage that he thought was, he cut out. And he ended up with this tiny little Bible that only had the kind of verses that he liked. So we definitely cannot do that. I think sometimes what I see myself and possibly some others doing is we tend to not do that in practice. You know, we don't cut it out, but we tend to do it in principle. We never actually study these passages and say, Spirit of Christ, would you speak to me and teach me what I need to learn from these difficult passages? Now, I want to suggest two things. The one thing that I'd like to suggest is to say, one of the things we can do with a passage like this is to say, let's read it together with others. Let's sit down and say, can I read this passage with some woman in my congregation? If I'm a man, if I'm a woman, can I find some men who would be willing to sit together with us and read this passage so that we can share our different insight in which women would see themselves in this story, perhaps sometimes being misrecognized or underrecognized or pushed to through expectation to do or be something that is not natural. And maybe the men can see in themselves, you know, sometimes things are happening around us which we might need to object to, which we might need to say, this seems to me to be theologically problematic or morally wrong. And what do I do in those situations to protect those who might have less of a voice or less of an opportunity to stand up? So the point I think is, Brad, you know, all of Scripture is given to us as a gift from God. It's inspired as we read. You know, it has this theopneustos, the breath of God in it. And not only the easy bits. I have my little Bible from when I was a late teenager. Oh, my goodness. Every verse that is a blessing is underlined and has my name next to it.
Wow.
Every verse has someone else's name next to it. And, you know, we sort of have to go back and look and say, no, all of this in some ways is about me and all of it is about others. Can we ask God to teach us through all of Scripture what we need to do? So maybe the last thing just to say is to our listeners today, what parts of Scripture are there that you've been neglecting? And it might be that God has a treasure there for you, like he did for me this week, to say, Dion, I want you to think very differently about how you're a Christian husband, a Christian father, a Christian son, a Christian brother in the world. And just by going to those difficult passages and being creative in our reading of them, the Spirit of Christ could unlock some beautiful things for us.
As always, thank you for bringing a perspective that might never even have occurred to us and highlighting certain things. And that's awakened something inside of us and hopefully a hunger to go and read the story again and ponder over it and meditate around it and then to get a I don't know, just to be re-energized to read more of the word in bigger chunks and take out more time to do it. And may we all fall in love with the word of God more and more. Dion, thank you for your time. Have yourself a wonderful Thursday. Enjoy the sunshine sneaking through the trees there, and we wish you a wonderful day.
Great. Thanks, Brad. Blessings to you. We catch up next week. Bye then.
Okay, bye now. Almost time for us to find out what's happening on the roads one last time as we greet Prof. Dion. I just want to remind you all to download our app so you can listen to Cape Pulpit no matter where you are, whether you're in the car, at home, or at the office, or in the gym. All you need is that Cape Pulpit app. And you visit the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store, you search for Cape Pulpit, you download that free app, and you can enjoy live radio programs, you can listen to our podcasts, and you can even select the audio quality so that you can manage your data usage. So go and download that app today and take us with you wherever you go. As of next week, Wednesday morning, we will be an app-only or streaming-only radio station. Our AM transmitter, sadly, will be switched off. And we want to make sure that you don't miss out. So I can see somebody right now has downloaded our app and they are listening out in Stellenbosch. Lekker. Also out in Pretoria. I see someone even, I don't know how you pronounce this, Kosice. That's in Slovakia. So somebody's streaming us right now in Slovakia. If I could speak the language, I would say hello. But I'm guessing you do catch, maybe you're an expat living out there. Awesome. In Kranshoek. That's out there near Plet, isn't it? Out there somewhere in the garden route, I think. In Kranshoek, hello. Someone in Belfast, in Mpumalanga. Someone else from Kraaifontein just popped on. I see someone from Virginia in the Free State, Westville. Berea in KZN. Someone in PE, Lekker. Fredendal, Worcester. Hankey's in the house again. Oh, so many listeners in Hankey. Who knew? That's the joy of having access to be able to see the back end of what's happening in the digital world. So we're grateful that we can still continue by God's grace. And we still, of course, need finances to keep going. We might have lost access to an AM transmitter as of next week, Wednesday. We might have had to lose our studios and offices and be able to move into this space. But we're grateful for the kindness and for God's grace. We're still on the air. And we really want you to keep praying for us so that we can stay on the air. We never want to reach a point where we have to just come on and I have to come on like I did this morning. It was hard enough saying that we simply cannot afford to stay on AM and that will end next week. I mean, that's hard for me. Even our station manager messaged me to say, yeesh, that was hard to listen to. It is hard. It's hard to talk about. And the fact is we have to talk about it a lot so that more people will know. You probably hear it a lot. Please don't get annoyed. Lots of people need to know. You might be listening for 3 hours at a time. Others only listen for 20 minutes. So we want to make sure everybody knows. We don't want anybody to not know. Now they're gone. How am I ever going to listen? Hence the reminders. And if you have questions and if you're unsure and you want to know more, email us info@capepulpit.co.za. If you're saying, I'd love to be part of the solution, at the end of the day, we still need money to keep going. We still need advertisers in the online space. We still need people to support us with their debit orders and gifts of finances, which happen and we're grateful. It just hasn't been enough to keep us going. So we really pray that what we can have will be enough to at least keep some staff here and keep us going. And I really pray from the bottom of my heart. I've been here this year 10 years behind the microphone doing the breakfast show. Others even longer than me. I do not want to have to say this is the last program ever and that we're shutting down. I never want to say those words. But if that's what God wants, then that's what God wants. So we don't know, but all we know is we're here to serve a purpose. We're here to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're here to tell great stories. We're here for our community, which reaches as far as Slovakia, it would seem. But you know, Kraaifontein and Stellenbosch and Pretoria and Kranshoek and Berea. I see someone's just logged on from Westville. Someone from Canoobie in the Eastern Cape. Welcome, you guys. Thank you for supporting us, for getting behind what we do, but just listening. If you could support us, that would be amazing. We really do want to stay on the air. We have a massive legacy. It can't go now. Surely not.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.